the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is worthy. He is worthy. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just come to you right now that that you would just do all the talking, Lord. That you'd just move me out of the way and that you would speak through me words of life, Lord, words of healing, words that would break yokes, and words that would set the captives free. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, what a service so far, huh? I mean, the Spirit of the Lord fell nicely on this place. Good words coming forth, words that are confirming words. Last time I spoke, it was on rest, that the rest we have in the Lord is now. It's not some future rest, it's now. And wow, I enjoyed a lot of trials and tribulations in that over the last couple weeks. You know, we were talking back in Sunday school about patience and patience. Basically, what brings about patience is tribulation. And I can tell you what brings about rest sometimes might be tribulation too. But anyway, it's been such an interesting last 4 weeks. Oscar and I were talking on the phone. I guess it was Tuesday night, and then Wednesday you asked if I would speak and on some of the life experiences that I've been having lately. And so I don't know exactly where this is going, but it's going, right? Lord is in control. You know, we have heard a lot about doors, you know, and open doors and closed doors and doors and doors. And you know, I had an experience with the Lord here in the last 3 weeks that it was basically an illustration of some of the scriptures that we all know. You ever been in a situation where you know that your work is complete and it's time to move into something else? It could be anything. I mean, it could be a Bible study. It could be a job. It could be school. It could be, you know, whatever. But you just, you know that you know that you know that the work's been done and it's time that God is moving you on. Okay? I had that experience. I'd been on my job for about 2.5 years, and sometimes you know because you're not as patient or you're frustrated or whatever, and then you have to go within and say, okay, Lord, I know I have to have peace in the midst of any storm. So that's not necessarily an indicator that it's time to move on, but it could be. And so what happened was, Julie saw what was going on, and I'll take you back to 1978. I had graduated from college, and I had gone all over looking for a job and probably applied, I don't know, 50 places. Ended up with a job in retail, not using my degree, not doing anything. Got very frustrated. I was not in the Lord at the time, and grew my hair, grew my beard, and worked at a Sight and Sound, if you remember that. It's an audio place, and I was into that, so I thought that would be a good place to work, so I worked there. Gave up on the job search and just really, you know, said the heck with it all. I got a phone call from my mom, and the encourager that she always was. And she said, son, I just saw a job in the newspaper that you're perfect for. I went and applied and got the job. Julie became my mom in this because she looked at a job in the newspaper and said, "You're perfect for this job. This job is yours." And I went, you know, spending time in the placement business, I know that many times you can apply hundreds of times and still not get a job. That, you know, you can apply five jobs a day and still not even get an interview. I applied, and nothing happened. And so Julie and I sat down and wrote a letter, found out who the CEO was, did a letter, and Julie does a wonderful job with words. And so between both of us, we came together with a letter on a Thursday night. And on Friday morning, first thing, I get a phone call from the CEO. And the process began then. And there, you know, he said, "We have a lot of different people. We have some internal candidates, whatever. It's a, you know, country. It's not just in the region. It's the, it's a country type situation." I say all that to say this, that when the process began, and when you're in a situation where the process begins, you're up here. You're saying, "Oh man, this is great." But then wait a week. Wait 2 weeks. You know. And I'll just be honest with you. You know, I still thought this was my job, but I had moments of doubt that creeped in. I thought, well, maybe it isn't. You know. But the thing I kept praying was, "Lord, your will be done, not mine. If this door is to be closed where I'm at now and the other door is to be opened, I want it to be your will. I don't want to go anywhere." The place, I knew I was supposed to go to this place. They, the year before I got there, they lost $283,000 in 1 year. Should have been shut down. And so my team and myself in 1 year turned it around to a profitable company and then started making money. And I say my team. So anyway, doubt started, you know, trying to get in, and I kept saying, every time I heard a doubt, it was, "Lord, your will be done, not mine. If I'm to stay here, I'll stay. If I'm to go, I'll go. It's your will to be done." But that middle section, folks, is where the tough part is, that the waiting on the Lord. You know, waiting on the Lord. I know we've talked a lot about waiting on the Lord here and how it's a three-cord rope that's not easily broken. When you're tied in with the Lord and you're linked in and braided in with Him, you're able to withstand those fiery darts that come in and say, "Well, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough." And, well, of course I'm not. I realize that. But He is. And He's willing, He's able to do all things. So, you know, this job is really an awesome job. I mean, my office would be, I ended up getting the job, but my office is a corner office that overlooks the river and the skyline of Cincinnati. I mean, it's like top shelf office space. I mean, it's the as good a view as there is in this city. Is that important? No, but I'm just saying that God took care of me. You know, God did a work because I basically turned it over to Him, had some contacts back and forth, but the bottom line is got the job. Well, I resigned my other position and I sat down with my staff, and this is the part that I think Oscar wanted me to talk about. I ended up sitting in a staff meeting, and I just felt like the Lord wanted me to take each individual. There was at the meeting seven individuals, take each individual and tell them how much they mean to me. And we started there, and I just went around the room. And, I mean, I had the Spirit of the Lord was in that room. I mean, I encouraged each one of them in front of their peers, told them how awesome they are, picked different things that the Lord reminded me to say. And, I mean, there was weeping. I mean, you know, in a business meeting, there was weeping. I mean, it was just one of those times when the Lord just showed up mightily. But it was just an awesome, awesome time in the Lord. Anyway, throughout the midst of this whole thing, the Lord gave me a phrase, and he kept saying it to me, kept speaking it to me, kept speaking it to me. Every time there'd be a seed of doubt, I would hear this. And this is, God will speak to you in some strange ways sometimes, doesn't he? It's a progressive insurance commercial. I had it all set up, but by the way, us elders need to vote to get Margaret a new computer. That laptop, you know how old that laptop is, Jim. You bought that a while ago, and we need a new laptop up there. But anyway, I wanted to show you the commercial, but you've all probably seen it. If you haven't, you know, you need to go YouTube and see it. It's hilarious. It's so funny. It's about name your own price or something like that. And, you know, there's a tool that you have that you can use that's, and it's real powerful. It can tell you all this stuff. And so a woman comes in to talk to Flo. And she's saying, what are you doing? You gave my husband this tool or whatever. Do y'all know the commercial I'm talking about? You gave my husband this tool, and Flo said, yeah, I know. It comes with a lot of power, and if you can't handle it, you know, it's not good. Well, then it shoots to the beach, and there's this guy that's juggling chainsaws. You seen that? He's juggling chainsaws. And her husband's, you know, he's full of, you know, I can do anything. There's a spiritual thing to this too, but anyway, I can do anything, you know. And so he's looking over at the guy, and he's doing the chainsaw, and the guy's saying, hey, I got it. And he's moving his hands. He doesn't even have the chainsaws yet, but he's waiting for that guy to throw one his way, and he's going to catch it, and he's going to juggle those chainsaws. And it's so funny because through the midst of all this, all I heard from the Lord was, I got it. I got it. It's not you. It's not about you. I got it. I got this. I got this. You know, spiritually speaking, you know, I mean, he created it all, didn't he? If anybody's got it, he's got it. So, you know, the whole time I'd get a seed of doubt, and all I'd hear is the Spirit of the Lord just speaking loudly, I got it. I got it. I got it. And it really spoke to me, and so the rest of this message is pretty much comes from this. The Lord is telling you today, right now, he's got it. Okay, so if you're concerned about something, you're worried about something, family, job, money, whatever, he's got it. Okay, he's got it. It's under control. Quit worrying and start praising him. Okay, he's got it. It's done. It is done. Like Brother Jim said, the Lord spoke to him and he said, it's finished. Okay, it's done. I got it. Okay, just trust in me. You know, let me be that lamp unto your feet. Let me show you the way. I'll do it all. You just sit back and obey. Sit back and spend time with me so we can commune and talk. You know, and so that's where all this came. Oh boy, I just broke my glasses. He's got it. You know what? I can still read with these. Okay, so you're not looking at me anyway. You're just close your eyes and listen to the Lord here. Hopefully we'll all get blessed. All right. Often we go through process and it's easy to lose sight of the objective and the expected outcome of that process. And that's one thing he's really teaching me, is to look at the outcome. When you're going through it, you're not stopping. You're going through it. Okay? So look at the outcome. And it, you know, like if there wasn't a finish line tape, you know, at the Olympics and all that, how would you know you're finished? So go for the finish line, and, you know, each little thing is another finish line. So go finish line to finish line to finish line to finish line. But all the process is preceded by a promise. Okay? And it's his word, or it's a spoken word to you, a prophecy, whatever. But it's coming from God. It's coming directly from his lips. God is preparing the way for his saints to be the sons that all of creation is groaning for. The lifestyle and culture of the kingdom will be their paths. They will no longer eat at the table of religion. They will choose only to eat what the Father sends. So it's not this religion thing. We're going to see it just fall by the wayside. He is revealing to us revelation light by which we can navigate through these seasons ahead. I mean, we're seeing it here every single Sunday. I mean, we're so blessed to have people. Any one of you all could get up here and do this. Any one of you. There's nobody sitting out there that couldn't do it. And that, what a blessing to be in a body that our pastor is you know, confident in the Lord and not confident in his own ability to be able to allow anybody to come up and have the confidence they're going to speak what the Lord tells them to speak. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand are what? For pleasures forevermore." How long's forevermore? Okay, we're going to talk a little bit later on about Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life. I think it was prophesied by one of the brothers here this morning. The way, I think, was what I heard. So whatever you're dealing with, you can trust the Lord that he's got it. He's got it. God gives us a promise, then the process begins to prepare us to live that promise in his presence. In his presence. Remember, fullness of joy, his right hand, pleasures forevermore. In his presence. Wow, if we could live in his presence every day, every minute, every second, what a life. The process trains us and delivers us simultaneously. Have you ever experienced this? The Lord just puts something in our knower that change is coming. I think we see change coming spiritually, and I think we're going to see change coming in the natural. Life can get very stressful and at times uneasy. When this happens, you have to ask the Lord, is this happening because of change that is coming my way, or do I just need to get stronger in the Lord and fight, you know, allow him to fight that battle and just move on? Have you ever had, Julie had a situation where there was just conflict in the office? You know, it happens. There's not an office out there or teachers or whatever where there's just not, there's someone, like I said when on the rest thing, there's someone that gets right in there. And maybe you're that person to someone else. No. But anyway, so what happens is this. She finally just sat down and just had a heart-to-heart with this person. I mean, why did she avoid it? Because people just like to stay away from conflict. You know, they just, some people, if you address conflict, it gets worse, and sometimes it gets better. just, you got to know who you're dealing with. She dealt with it, and you told me over the weekend here that it's the best it's ever been. You know, that you guys are getting along better than you've ever got along. It's a two-person office, so you better get along well with a two-person office. So anyway, I opened up Bible Gateway yesterday, and this came out as their quote of the day, scripture of the day. It's in Isaiah 26:3. It says, "You, Lord, you give, you preserve, you keep in true peace, complete peace to those who depend on you, whose mind is stayed on you, whose purpose is firm." You have a part in this, okay? You have to do these things in order to have that complete peace. And it goes on to say, because they trust you. And I don't know if it's Sunday school or something, faith, you know, you have faith and whatever, but then you have to add trust to that. And you add all that together, and that's a really good thing. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace." You know when something's creeping in where that peace is starting to flee. You know, you sense it in here. And as soon as it starts to flee, these are the scriptures you got to throw out there and end quote. "In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering." Okay, Lord's not saying he's going to take all that away. "But be courageous." We have to be courageous. "Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world." And I love this in the expanded version. It says, "My conquest is accomplished." Okay? And it says, "My victory abiding." Love that. John Maxwell, you've probably heard of him. He says, "Life is 10% of what happens to me and 90% of how I react to it." Wow. The Lord says, "Cast your cares on me, for I care for you." I mean, I think that's an order. I think he wants us to do that. "My burden is light, my yoke is easy." Then we have to ask the question, are we willing to move into this next thing he has for us in most cases, not knowing where this might lead? We don't know where it's going to lead, maybe. Abraham was told, "Go. Go." Okay, where, Lord? He didn't ask, but I'm sure he was thinking, "Where, Lord?" Well, just go. Just go. I'll let you know when you need to know. You're on a need-to-know basis. Right now, you don't need to know. So, do we have faith to believe that whatever it is and wherever he sends us is a part of his perfect will for our life? I like this story. This is a neat story. A group of prestigious, I love academic people, you know. You know, some of them are just like us and some of them think they're better than everybody else. But anyway, a group of prestigious university graduates came to visit their old professor. During the visit, conversation turned to work. Graduates were complaining about countless difficulties and problems in life. After offering coffee to his guests, the professor went to the kitchen, came back with a coffee pot and a tray, crowded with many different cups. There were some porcelain, glass, plastic, crystal even. Some cups were simple, others were very, very expensive. When the graduates picked out the cups, the professor said, "Notice how all the beautiful cups were picked out, and the simple and cheap ones were left. And although it seems normal for you wanting only the best things for yourself, but that is the source of your problems and stress. You need to understand that the cup doesn't make the coffee better." Most of the time, it's only more expensive. But sometimes it is hiding what you are drinking. Actually, all that you wanted was only coffee. That's all he offered him, right? Just coffee. Not the cup. But you consciously picked the best cups and later watched what kind of cups others got. And now think. Life is the coffee. And job, money, position, society are the cups. They are only instruments for maintenance and upkeep of life. This type of cup we have doesn't determine the quality of our life. Sometimes by concentrating only on the cups, we forget to enjoy the taste of the coffee. The happiest people are not those who have the best things, but those who enjoy life and get the most of it with what they have. And I was reminded of your poem. Would you mind giving the poem on the potter's wheel and whatever? Would you do that, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
The processing of the Lord continues each day as he's working mud into clay, the clay he is forming with his right hand to make it a vessel that'll fit into his plan. But after he's placed it upon his wheel and he's twisted and turned and spun with a zeal, and the beauty of the vessel is apparent to see. If you fill it with water, it no longer will be. For the water will cause it to sag and to fall, for the strength of the vessel's not there after all. But the master must lift it with both of his hands to process it further that he might meet his demands. And into the fiery furnace it must go. To be tested and tried, his will he will show. Was to strengthen the vessel and cause it to be a vessel of honor and dignity. For the value of the vessel is not the vessel at all, but what is contained by the strength of its walls.
Yeah, that's good. Very good. Thank you. Yeah, that poem speaks to me. I guarantee it speaks to you all too. You notice the graduates were not talking about how fulfilling and rewarding their lives were. That didn't come out. You know, they were not content. If they would have, that's what would have come out, right? If you're content, you're going to hear some good things coming out. They were complaining about how difficult life is and all the problems that come with life. I like the part where it says the cup doesn't make the coffee better. Some of the things that we think are so important in life aren't really important at all. Our priorities have to include more coffee and less cup. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. It's not a mistake that it's in that order. It's not a mistake that it's three. The Lord prophesied today about the third day. Many find the way. Fewer find the truth. And very, very few are actually living the life. I mean, all you have to do is just go around and talk to people, you know. I'm just reminded of the let me just say this before that. The life is total surrender. Total surrender. You know, in the tabernacle of Moses, there were three doors. There was a gate, a door, and a veil. The gate was to get into the outer court. It was very wide, very, very wide. There was a fence around the place, and so it didn't go very high, but it was very, very wide. And that represents, of course, our salvation. We came into that outer court as, Lord, I need a Savior, and please come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. The next, there's a couple other things I wanted to say about that, but the sinner came first to the gate. Wide open is the gate with its invitation to the people to come in. That way led directly to the altar and to the laver to cleanse from sin and to peace with God. Then came a door half as wide and twice as high. So get that picture. It's getting narrower. And you know what scripture I'm coming to. Half as wide, twice as high as it was the door. Not so many ever passed this portal, but those who could and did enter into a holy place and stood in the presence of truth. The lampstand promising illumination, but it was artificial. The showbread on the table offering communion. The golden altar indicating intercession. All higher truths than are grasped by those who never progress beyond bare salvation. Beyond all this was the veil leading to the Holy of Holies where few could penetrate. There was the mystery of life, the cherubim overshadowing the mercy seat, ever occupied with the blood sprinkled there, the ark with the pot of manna, the unbroken law, the rod of Aaron with its buds, blossoms, and almonds, all speaking of the deep things of Christ and over all the Shekinah glory cloud in which God himself dwelled. So, God operates from the Holy of Holies. He operates from the throne. And his approach to man is from the throne out. Our approach to God is from out to the throne. And what happens is, as we're, you know, it says, draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. What happens is when we all get to the Holy of Holies, that's where you find that life. The way, the truth, and the life. That's where life is. Well, I'm a Christian. I have that life. Well, Jesus even told Nicodemus, you know, being born again just allows you to see the kingdom of God. Doesn't necessarily say you're entering in and you have all that the kingdom affords you. It's the beginning. It's the starting point. Matthew 7, 13, 14. Go in by the narrow gate, for the wide gate has a broad road which leads to disaster, and there are many people going that way. The narrow gate and the hard road lead out into life, and only a few are finding it. That word disaster, a lot of people call this the, you know, heaven and hell verse. This is a heaven and hell verse. That's not what it says. This word disaster is really a good word. The root of it is to put out of the way. So what it's doing is putting out of the way anything that's not of Jesus. It needs to be put out of the way. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if you're not in the way, you need to get it out of the way. Okay? And so, and then the other thing, this is just so awesome. It's if you keep going into the root and going into primitive roots and whatever, it's the destruction of the flesh, said of the external ills and troubles by which the lusts of the flesh are subdued and destroyed. Wow. So now you like that word disaster, don't you? King James calls it the straight gate, to cause or make to stand, to place put, set. One who does not hesitate, who does not waver. I have to stop with that stand, place, put, and set. Okay? Lord wants you to stand where he places you. And stand. And stand and stand. If the winds of adversity come, whatever, stand. Okay? Above all things, stand. He wants you to thrive or grow. We're back to stand. Now we're going to place. He wants you to thrive or grow in the place he wills you to be. So if wherever you are right now, if this is where he's willed you to be, then guess what? Stand. Okay? And stand with a smile on your face, not like these graduates complaining and, oh, life's so tough, oh, woe is me, you know. No, stand there with a smile on your face, knowing that the Lord has placed you there and you're there for a reason or a purpose. He will put, where it's stand, place, put, he will put you where you will prosper. And you will allow him to set you in the right place. Yeah. Not where you set yourself. And even in the body of Christ, there's a lot of people, not a lot, but there's people out there setting themselves in positions of authority. I love it here where, you know, Clyde, Jim, as they are elders. We're not elder rich. We're all getting pretty elderly in the natural sense, but no, I like that we're not caught up in names and titles and all this thing that's supposed to be important that's not important. It's what is the fruit? What kind of fruit are you showing out there, you know? Yeah, gifts are great, but they're without repentance. What kind of fruit are we showing? And if we're showing the fruit that pleases the Lord, praise God, it doesn't matter what your title is. It's not important. Just be careful not to set yourself in a place where you're not, where he has not set you. He set kings. Well, he set kings, and then you had people set kings. I mean, look at, they set, the people wanted a king, so they set Saul up to be king. Okay, that was not the king. David was picked by the Lord to be the king. So, you know, like Brother Oscar said many times, Samuel went to Saul with a cruse of oil, a homemade thing to bring homemade anointing. Okay, now you're king. We anoint you as king. But he went to David with the horn. Some animal had to shed its blood to provide that horn. I guess not, but I guess we'll say, in order to be anointed by the Lord. So, stand, place, put, and set. God says, I got it. I got all four of those. Let him have it. He's got it. Look at Esther. She went from a young outcast. Her being Jewish or whatever was not the chic thing in that country. It was not where it's at. But God set her and placed her queen of probably at that time the most powerful nation on earth. So she went. Could she have ever set herself in that? No, no, no chance. God did it. And she led him too. Joseph, you know the story. I mean, his jealous brothers wanted to kill him. He ended up being sold into slavery. The end of the story, it's because of Joseph, the Israelites ended up in Egypt. But look what happened. He's sitting in jail because he was falsely accused. Lord's saying, don't worry, Joseph, I got it. It's okay. I got it. Just, and that's, look for that outcome, you know. I truly believe the Lord gave Joseph something to spur him on to keep going and saying, you know, maybe he didn't show him as second in command of all of Egypt, but maybe he did. I don't know, but I will tell you this. God said, I got it, Joseph. You don't have to worry about it. I got it. Let me set you. You don't have to set yourself. I will set you. Okay? Moses. Oh, Lord, I stutter. I can't deliver your people. I mean, I'm not capable, you know. It's just not me. Well, God said, I know you're not, but I got it. I got it. I'm going to send Aaron to help you, and it's going to happen because I'm setting you in this place to deliver my people and set them free. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, if this cup could just pass, if this cup could just pass, God says, son, I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. Yes, you're going to suffer, but I got it. The joy that was set before him to see us right here, the joy that was set before him to be able to look at all the sons and daughters, the joy that was set before him to say, here are my sons. I'm going to reveal them now. I'm going to send them out, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. You can put so many people's names in there. You can put your own name in there. You can come up, every one of you could come up here and a time in your life where the Lord said, I got it. Don't worry. It's okay. I'm in control, not you. Don't try to be in control. Don't try to set yourself. Don't try to place yourself. Don't try to get your will to be done. Let my will be done, because I guarantee you my will is much better than your will. Your will get you in trouble. Your will take you down the wrong way. My will keep you on the path leading to righteousness and peace and love and joy and all the things that every, whether you're a believer or not, everybody strives for. You know, they pay thousands of dollars to go get massages and whatevers, you know, to have some kind of peace, and the stress is just so much that, you know, heart attacks, whatever. The best medicine, the best everything is Jesus Christ. He can provide it all. When God sets you because you have surrendered to him, that is what you can expect. Your expectation now becomes in him and not in a job, not in this, not in that, not in the other. It's your source is him. And that's where your expectation should lie. All things work together for your good. He enables us to be able to get through it, and we can put a smile on our face and be able to weather whatever storm comes our way. Psalms 91, 14. I love this. I love the whole psalm, but time doesn't permit to say the whole thing, so we'll just do the end of it. Because he set his love on me. Isn't it nice that you could say that? He set his love on me. Every one of you can say that same thing. Therefore, I will save him. Because you set your love on him. I can save him now. He loved you first, but then you loved him second, right? I will set him securely on high. Man, do you want to be set on high with the Lord? I do. Because he knows my name, he can confidently trust and rely on me, knowing I will never abandon him. No, never. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. Whenever trouble comes my way, I lift my head up high and say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him. And I will let him see my salvation. That's how much God loves us. That's pretty neat. That's the life. When you're in the life and you're operating in the life, that's what you get. And we don't do things to get things, but what a wonderful thing to get by just surrendering to him and quit trying to take up your own cross, take up his cross, and move on. That's an awesome thing right there. And the tabernacle, let's see. It all comes down to the choices we make. How many choices do you think you make in a day? You choose to get up, right? So right there begins your day. You don't choose to wake up. He wakes you up. But you choose to get up if he woke you up. All through the day, you make choices. The choices we make today will determine the blessings and opportunities of tomorrow. David made some good choices. He made some bad choices. We make some good choices. We make some bad choices. The story that I like that comes to mind is when David decided he's going to count the Israelites, especially the soldiers, you know. And why was that such a sin? Well, because David's saying, well, we have this many soldiers, and it's relying on us, not on him. And so with all these soldiers, we can beat anybody. Well, you know, if God wasn't on your side, you're not going to beat anybody. Like, I don't know where it was. We were talking about Jehoshaphat. You know, send the praisers. And the praisers alone, without even a weapon, destroyed the enemy. Without a weapon, not one weapon, not one arrow was shot, not one spear was thrown. The enemy was defeated by the praise coming from the praisers. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, place before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life so that you and your children will live, and love God, your God, listening obediently to him, firmly embracing him. Wow, that's a neat little thing. Firmly embrace. How do you embrace the Lord? I mean, you know, I think the best way to describe that would just be so close to him that you reach out and embrace him. I mean, you just have a closeness there, an intimacy there. Oh, yes, he is life itself, a long life settled on the soil that God, your God, promised to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Wisdom always chooses to do now what it will be satisfied later on. So in other words, wisdom, if you choose wisdom, you don't have to worry about making that choice. That's a good choice. You know, if it's wisdom in the Lord, you never have to worry about making a bad choice. It's always a good choice. But when David counted the Israelites, it was a bad choice. But God sent a Joab, and he'll send a Joab into our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, he will send a Joab into our lives. Joab decided, he was against it. He didn't want to do it. He said, I don't like this at all. But it was an order from the king. So he kind of did it halfway. He skipped the Benjamites and the Levites, but he numbered the rest of them. Guess what? 70,000 people died. First of all, I got ahead of myself. The Lord gave David three choices, okay? Let me see if I can find that real quick. But the Lord gave him three choices. 3 years of hunger or famine for the land. It says here, choose for yourself, take your choice. 3 years of hunger or famine, or choose 3 months of running from being swept away by your enemies as they chase and overtake you with their swords. So that's choice number two. I don't like either one of those. I don't think David did either. Number three, or choose 3 days of punishment from the sword of the Lord, in which a terrible disease, plague, pestilence will spread through the country, through the land. The angel of the Lord will go through Israel, destroying the people. Now, David, decide which of these things, what answer I should tell or give the Lord who sent me. That was Gad speaking. David said to Gad, I am in great trouble, deep distress, a desperate situation. Let the Lord punish me. Me fall into the hand of the Lord, because the Lord is very merciful. Don't let my punishment come from me falling in the hand of my enemies. So, there's consequences to our choices. And there were 70,000 people that died. But guess what? Nobody in the tribe of Benjamin and Levi died. Not one person. And it's interesting that the number 70 is, I mean, didn't Jesus send out 70? It's an interesting number if you study through the Bible, the number 70. We won't do it right now, but it is an interesting number. Driving here today, I just had Julie write this down. I don't know if it even makes sense, but at the time it made great sense, so we'll see. The way, Jesus is the way, truth, and life. The way was made through the truth of the shed blood of Jesus so that we could gain entrance into the life. So I don't know if that makes sense or not, but at the time, in other words, we have to believe that Jesus is who he is. You know, we have to believe everything about it, you know. And some people say, well, you know, we had someone call the radio program, well, how can, if God's one, how can Jesus be coming out of the water and the Holy Spirit comes down and the Father says, this is my son who I'm well pleased. Well, it's called faith. You know, you got to have some faith in this thing or you can't please God and it'll drive you crazy and you'll never make it into the next part, the truth and the life. It'll never happen without faith. Despite David's order to number the people, Joab resisted and the end defied the order and did not number Benjamin and Levi. We find that Joab's refusal to number Benjamin and Levi, in fact, kept the resulting plague from killing anyone in Jerusalem, the holy city. So in Jerusalem, nobody died. Okay, last thing here. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What is the third meal of the day? Supper. That's what he wants. He wants to sup with us. He wants to be in that third relationship. In that area that a supper is definitely, he could have said breakfast, lunch, whatever. No, he said supper. So, you know, third meal of the day. Goes on to say, to him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame. And am set down, there's that word set again, set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Then after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. That's our future. We can do that right now. We can sit on that throne right now. It's not a future event. It's not something you have to die to happen. It's right now. This is available to you. This life that Jesus paved the way for is available to us right now. I will end with this. I love this. I think some of you all have this too. It's called Jesus Calling. Okay, if you read August 26, this is what I'm going to read. It's just so good. I mean, so much of this is so good. I would strongly encourage you to get a copy. In fact, she has another one. Read the foreword too. Man, she has suffered some things, folks. If you read the next one, it's got a blue copy on it. I forget the name of it, but she's been through some stuff, and she really does have a way with what her relationship is with the Lord. It says she talks as she was the Lord, and when you read this, so the Lord's saying this, trust me in the midst of a messy day. You ever had a messy day? In your inner calm, your peace in my presence need not be shaken by what is going on around you. Though you live in this temporal world, your innermost being is rooted and grounded in eternity. When you start to feel stressed, detach yourself from the disturbances around you. Instead of desperately striving to maintain order and control in your little world, relax. And remember that circumstances cannot touch my peace. Yes, seek my face, and I will share my mind with you. Opening your eyes to see things from my perspective. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. The peace I give is sufficient for you. Thank you.
Yes.